Today's devotion is titled, The Fruits of the Spirit. We're encouraged by what the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For those of us who are parents or grandparents, we receive great pleasure and joy seeing our children and grandchildren growing up and developing into adults who have good character, kind-hearted, and a quality of spirit. We as Christian parents and grandparents should also desire to see our children and grandchildren discover for themselves the way of salvation and have a personal relationship with Jesus. Again, we as natural parents have a responsibility to encourage our children growing up into responsible and caring citizens. Likewise, we should be encouraging young Christians by spending time and energy encouraging and teaching them how to grow into becoming passionate godly folk and with a desire to serve God also. The Apostle says in Romans 8, 5-6, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. As a Christian, you carry the responsibility of reading God's Word, seeking God's help in prayer, and by the Holy Spirit, put into action what you are learning, but it has to be diligently cultivated. We have to put effort and time into making those changes. With it, I bring a great word of encouragement. You're not on your own. You can be assured God Himself, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will encourage and help you. As you grow in your faith, you will begin to see a change in your lifestyle, but also your countenance will change as you display the character of Jesus. Folks will see His joy and peace in your everyday life. Fiona Castle, the wife of Roy Castle, the TV entertainer, was being interviewed on BBC Morning TV about passive smoking, which eventually killed her husband Roy through having developed lung cancer. The lady interviewing Fiona finished by remarking how Fiona had an ambience. Her face glowed. Fiona is a rich Christian. She shines for Jesus. I was disappointed that Fiona did not get the opportunity to reveal what gave her such a joy and such a sparkle as she spoke. Fiona missed having the opportunity to tell everyone she was a Christian and was looking forward to the joy of meeting her beloved Roy once again in heaven. It should be the desire of all Christians to portray that special aroma, that ambience which portrays who we are and who is living within us and directing our day-to-day lifestyle. The Apostle Peter wrote some very encouraging and uplifting words in his letter. He writes in 2 Peter 1, 1-11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. 4. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Each one of us as Christians make mistakes, some small, some large. But here, Peter says, after explaining how we should conduct our lives, he says in verse 10, "For if you do these things, you will never stumble." In these verses, we have a firm promise. We have the keys to a godly life, assuring us of never letting the Lord down and becoming a light for Him. So let us take a closer look. We read in 2 Peter 1, 3-4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We need to grow in our faith. These verses are as if we are climbing a set of stairs as we progress and grow in our Christian walk. By both regularly reading God's Word and sensing the leading of the Holy Spirit together, they will empower us and enable us to live a fruitful, godly life. Remember what it says in the next verse, 2 Peter 1:5. Make every effort to add to your faith. Yes, activating our faith is our first step. We read in Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." We have to know the Lord in our heart. We have to listen to the Lord. And when He speaks, we have to trust and obey. Notice, there is a promise that comes with our act of faith and obedience. When we exercise our faith with obedient faith, we read, "We must believe that He exists, for He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." In 2 Corinthians 5:7 we read, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Then when we take a closer look at 2 Peter 1:5, we are encouraged to take certain steps to grow, to discover the truth of God's love, which is mentioned as the last item in this verse. Let us read these steps again. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to goodness and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to a mutual affection love. Once we are walking by faith, we are encouraged to seek a life of goodness, or as other translations say, virtue, good character, moral excellence, living a truthful, upright life, then to gain knowledge. The Bible is where we can discover and understand God and His ways, and then adopt and copy them. Then we have to exercise self-control, that is, seeking to put in subjection our flesh-like tendencies. The Apostle Paul recognized the temptations of our weak human nature. He says in Romans 7:14-25, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But when what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have that desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but is sin living in me that does it. So, I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord." While seeking these qualities, we face temptation and persecution. So we have to persevere, which will develop a godly character. With our godly character, we will build mutual affection, a healthy relationship with God, which will give us a desire to show mutual affection to our fellow Christians and friends who do not know the Lord. In our walk with God, we will develop a pure heart, relished with God's love, giving out a sweet aroma and ambience that Christian and non-Christians will admire and seek after. Again, what does the Apostle Paul say about living with God's love in our heart? We read in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-8, "If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Then the apostle explains what the nature of God's love is like. He goes on to say, "God's love is patient. God's love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. God's love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God's love never fails. It is because of God's wonderful love we have been forgiven. God's love should be central in our heart. As a Christian, we have God's love in our hearts, which should be living and growing in our hearts, which we can pass on to everyone we meet. Now, let us read these words again, remembering this is the life of Jesus we should be seeking to follow. So if we replace the word love with Jesus, this is how it will read. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. We read in Proverbs 3:3-4, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Here again, we have the emphasis of love, which should be God's love in us and working through us. But we should also seek to be faithful. When we have friends who are trustworthy and do what they say, we find a sense of security in that. So likewise, we should be faithful to our God who is faithful. Then we reap the rewards, as we've just read. You will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:13-15, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. With God's unadulterated love, we can be sure we will be sowers of unity. I now want to turn our minds to Galatians 5, where the Apostle Paul first talks about our old nature, which can hinder us in our walk with God. Here, Paul, once again, like Peter, gives us wisdom as to how we can live a godly life and show us how to live that godly life. And through living that godly life, be an effective witness to all folk we encounter from day to day. It has been said, share God's love wherever you can. Use words as a last resort. The way we live and how we behave should speak volumes and portray God's character through our godly lifestyle. We read in Galatians 5:13-18, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. To serve God and to serve man, we need a heart of humility to live a life worthy of being called a Christian. We read in Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That means living a modest, not proud life, preferring others, not believing that you are more important. Then the Apostle continues in Galatians 5:22-25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. First, we ask the question, what does it mean, the fruits of the Spirit? It means the effect we have on folk when we live a godly, upright way. Am I having a godly influence on everyone I meet through what I say and what I do? Notice that in 2 Peter 1, The Apostle Peter lists love as the last item. So think of this chapter as a guide for us who are growing. Whereas here in Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul starts with love, in Galatians 5 we are moving on from growing into learning how to start serving, drawing folk to Jesus and showing by our conduct how a Christian should live. We lead by example. To keep our body healthy, we need to exercise to keep fit. By reading our Bible regularly, praying regularly and witnessing and encouraging one another, we will keep spiritually fit. It's a common practice to see folk visiting the gym for a workout. Wherever I see a person jogging to keep fit, I remark to myself, why don't you get an allotment? Jogging keeps us only fit, where having an allotment not only keeps us fit, but we benefit by eating the food we produce and enrich our minds and spirit as we see the plants germinate and grow. Likewise, we need to keep exercising our soul and spirit, feeding on God's word, praying regularly, in turn witnessing and encouraging one another, so as to keep us strong and fit to serve God through living out our Christian life and serving others. As an illustration, in order to explain the various aspects of righteous living as recorded in Galatians 5:20-25, I want to use the bell tent and attach the various lifestyle aspects to the outer canvas and guy ropes of the tent. The Bible tells us that our body is a tent or temple of the Holy Spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 5:1-4, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Having used the main canvas of the tent to illustrate our bodies as a temple or tent of the Holy Spirit, let us again turn back to Galatians 5:22, which reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is at the top of the list. I want us to attach love to the center pole of the tent. God's love has to be and needs to be in the center of every action and conversation in our lives. We need to have God's love central in our lives in order to fully embrace and live out the rest of the lifestyles as seen in this verse, which we should seek to live out. Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Having fixed the pole first in the center of the bell tent, it is vital to hold the canvas of the tent upright. God's love is the vital ingredient that will keep our life upright before God and man. After erecting the center pole, we then begin to attach the main guy rope that are at first attached to the hem of the tent canvas and equally anchored into the ground with tent pegs. For us as Christians, we need to have God's love centering our lives with the various characteristics of our lifestyle attached and firmly anchored to the one who is our rock and foundation, Jesus himself. The apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Each of those spiritual guide ropes, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control should be what we should be displaying at all times. We have to cultivate and exercise those characteristics as we find first read in 2 Peter 1, 1-11. Then here in Galatians 5, 22-25, we are shown how to put these characteristics into action. There is one final aspect to take into consideration. If one or two of these guy ropes became slack or broken, it would put more pressure on the other guy ropes. They in turn could break when seeking to take up the strain. Jesus prayed a very important prayer to his Father about his children, the church. He prayed in John 17, 20-23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through this message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. When we are seeking to display the righteous characteristics, like the guy rope illustrated in the bell tent, all characteristics need to be working equally together. If we fail in one area, our reputation can be broken. It is so easy for us to compromise our faith. Likewise, we as a body of Christians, God's church, must show unity of spirit, both in what we say and do, while helping all friends and folk we rub shoulders with, especially those who have never met the Saviour Jesus. Let us conclude this devotion by reading words of encouragement written by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, 1-17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practice, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, in all our communications and interactions with the world, as well as our fellow Christians, we should seek to live so as to display Jesus' character and beauty as part of the church, being Jesus' bride. Remember what we read in Psalm 45:11. It's all about the perfect bride displaying her beauty before the King of Kings, which reads, "Let the King be enthralled by your beauty. Honour him, for he is your Lord." One song that emulates what this devotion seeks to do reads, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in me. Grant me grace all sufficient, that I may be true and faithful each day, every step of the way, pointing souls to the Saviour on Calvary. Amen.